If anyone can from 55, it's Newcombe with a blast.
Bulldogs haven't kicked a major since the 27-minute mark of the second term. Oh, no. That's been gifted. Straight down to Lewis. And Lewis bangs it home. Five in a row for the Hawks.
Bulldogs supporters, just close your eyes and think that English can kick it to the wing.
Yes, the Hawks made it back-to-back wins, shocking the Dogs in what was a tight tussle in Tassie. Once again, our midfield reigned supreme, thanks in part to a career-best performance from Jai Newcombe. There were positives aplenty, and we're going to get into them right here on the Hawk Talk podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Nick Mason, and with me as always is a man who must be delighted in how the team is tracking late in the season. G'day, Tiz.
I'm shocked. Legitimately shocked at how that ended. Hawthorn didn't look in the contest in the first quarter. And somehow they just dominated. Was it a half of football nearly that they went without scoring?
I guess it was, come to think of it, yeah. Because clearly we got on top in general play.
Yeah.
We were the better team on the day. It didn't look, as you say, did not have the makings of that.
Did not start well.
When that game started, I was like, come on, when are we going to beat this mob?
And then you're going to see at the Peter Crimmins, there'll be 10 votes for Connor Nash's knee from this game.
Now, that was quite accidental.
It was. Deliberately accidental. And there was no malice in that at all. And it was quite an awful injury, I did feel for Libba.
Well, he was out. He was out and straight away.
No, he's bleeding as well from the back of the head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there were some nutters online. Did you see them?
Well, I saw one.
Yeah.
I think we're referring to the same person.
whoever Finn McGuinness goes to doesn't finish the game.
And I replied, yes.
Did you? I didn't see you reply.
Well, I mean, look, he's not going out to hurt them. But
I saw other people offering to buy him some tinfoil.
Fair enough, really. Fair enough comeback. But Finn McGuinness's job is to make life difficult. It's not to injure them. Obviously, we don't want that.
But I tell you what, we were talking about it. He's got some big matchups the next week. So he's just rolling them into the ground. And then after Libba went off, he went to Bailey Dale, and, well, did you see him after that? It's just ridiculous.
I think he limited him to one touch in the end.
Just a very good team performance again after quarter time, and you got to say that led by Jai and James, and that's some wonderful news. I felt very good. Surprising that it wasn't longer, but that, of course, takes him to the end of his free agency period.
Yeah, James Warpole, of course, signed through the end of 2025 is what we're referring to. How do you feel about that? I know you expected longer, as did I, but 2 years?
So I guess he's taken unders on the proviso that he can absolutely go for broke in a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess so. And it puts Hawthorn in a flexible position as well, because
now he can chuck some cash at someone over the trading period.
Well, that's true, but also we get a look at our younger talent that could maybe surpass Warple. You just never know what can happen in 2 years. If Warple leaves, we could be in a position to say, well, we're secure in that, actually. We're fine.
Yeah, we've got some good talent, and given another draft, midfielders come on a bit quicker, but got to be mindful. The Sicilian window.
Well, mate, a lot can get done inside even, well, approximately 2 years. You look at Jai Newcombe, that was his 50th game.
Yeah.
That is insane. 40 touches at 85% disposal efficiency. His previous best was 35 touches.
And they had no answers.
No.
That's why I've been watching the pressure grow at the Doggies on the coaching staff, mainly led by good old Cornsey. But there were some odd decisions, and then in the last minute,
how did you feel about that?
Beautiful so stuff.
I saw him take the kick in, and I was like, okay, what is this? What are they trying to do here?
So
surely, if you're a Dogs fan, you're like, but English can't kick to English up the line. Oh, look, he's just dancing around now. He's not even wanting to go to the top of the square. Not straight down the guts, as he would definitely do.
Yeah, to himself.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, he's taking the kick in, and he's just absolutely butchered it.
Having mentioned English, you've got to mention that Reeves has had some very good stoushes with him. Anyway.
If by stoushes you mean he's won by knockout every time.
Yeah, but he'll be all Australian ruck.
Yeah, he will be. Which makes this more impressive. Ned Reeves with 10 touches, 7 tackles, 43 hit-outs to English's 32, and 14 hit-outs to advantage for Reeves.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, make no mistake, we'll get back to Newcombe in just a moment, but this question from Mitch, is Ned Reeves going to silence the haters? Played a very solid game on the weekend. He laid 7 tackles. That suggests his work rate is improving. Oh, and he towed up the guy that everyone thinks will be All-Australian, as you point out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's had his setbacks. Mm-hmm. This year, I've lost faith in him during matches.
As have I, on this podcast. As a noted critic of Ned Reeves is me, Nick Mason.
But that's, you know, if you have a second or even a third tall in the forward line, we're not so dependent on him for marks. And I thought Cozzy did excellently there. So let's start with the midfield and just how that engine room met the Dogs, who that's their MO.
That's their forte. Now, you said before that they had no answers. The Bulldogs really should have answers for the 16th placed Hawthorn. They really should, because they'll probably end up playing finals. They'll scrape in maybe 8th or something.
Yeah, and wasn't it great? It felt really good thinking, oh, we've done the Cats a favour here.
But they don't deserve to be there, the Bulldogs. We know that now.
Oh, no, they definitely deserve to be there.
Oh, come on.
Judged by the talent on that list.
Yeah, well, okay, right? I get what you're saying, but they're wasting it.
Like, you can't tell me that a Bontempelli doesn't deserve to play finals. Or Smith, or Liver, or Norton.
Yeah, but, okay, Stars, for sure, but as a cohesive unit, they're not up to it.
There's something wrong.
There is.
Like, if Sammy had Norton in the forward line.
Yeah.
Or Bontempelli on the ball.
We could in a couple of years. Well, Norton, I mean.
Do you know what the beauty of this thought line is?
Mm.
Is that AFL players think like that. Imagine if I was in that midfield. Oh, it's delicious.
It was a stunning display from our midfield. And, you know, Jai Newcombe, as we say, 40 touches, 499 metres gained, 12 marks, 4 tackles, a team-high 10 score involvements, including a goal and 2 assists. Game 50.
Does it get better than this?
Well, I think it does. And that's the scary thought for the competition, I would say. And a most enjoyable thought for us. I think it was a friend of the show, one of our listeners, Al, who coined the powerhouse from Puong. And he is. And you want to know the thing that's very impressive about Jai Newcombe is think back to game one. Okay, makes his debut against Sydney, registers a record 14 tackles. Fast forward to 2023. Now, the news going around the week prior to the Dogs game was that this is a bloke who's on track to set a record for most tackles broken.
Yeah.
He's going to surpass Dusty. So, zoom out, and the big picture here is that we have a guy that loves to tackle and that can't be tackled himself, and finds 40 touches against a superb midfield contingent. Thank you very much.
And hits the scoreboard as a midfielder.
He hits the scoreboard from outside 50.
And this is why every year until he retires, I will be backing him for a Brownlow.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Sky seems the limit for Jai Newcombe.
The Brownlow Newcombe Hawthorn Premiership double. Wow. Might just pay for the grand final tickets, won't he?
Oh, wow. Jeez, here we go. Love the game.
But I mean, he is fantastic. Yeah. For a young player hitting 50 games from a mid-season draft.
Well, I thought
no wonder they changed the rules.
I thought Will Day in game 52 is excellent as well. He did some flashy things. James Warple already mentioned 25 touches at 80%. 13 contested. That was equal with Nash, by the way, who I thought had a quieter game, but still had a big influence beyond his knee, of course.
Watch Sammy on 360 discuss Warple and how he'd got back into form and the psychology of it. And he didn't take any credit. He said that was all down to Warps.
Yeah.
And his incredible work ethic, which apparently never dropped. Mm. But he said if you keep working that hard, it'll come back.
Well, there's some pleasing things about Warple at the moment. And that is, it's clear to see his disposal efficiency has lifted dramatically. I think he's using the footy a lot better. And as far as Hawthorn fans are concerned, with the departures of Mitchell and O'Meara, you really wanted Warple to stand up. You're like, if you can't do that, then maybe we don't need you at Hawthorn. Maybe we have a look at someone else. But he has proven himself. He has stepped up and is an essential cog of this.
Well, you've got to say, even in those really... He had really poor moments.
Mm.
And the coaching staff stood behind him the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the confidence came back. And I think that's the difference, because Warps was definitely panicking.
Yeah.
And now, no panic.
Agreed.
And it's also to do with how well Jai's playing, Reeves, Amon, mm-hmm. It's a unit.
Oh, can we talk about Amon, please? Because, I mean, he played a part right at the end.
Give him every second week off, eh? If he's going to do this.
He was rejuvenated, no doubt about it. 32 touches at 90.6%. Wow. Jeez, if you're going to find the footy that much and use it that well.
And in Tassie, where he hasn't had, a lot of games.
That's true. Yep. 704 metres gained, if you don't mind. 6 inside 50s and 6 rebound 50s. Doing it at both ends. 13 marks, 1 goal. I mean, we've banged on about this before. He has to be in conversation for comp-wide, one of the recruits of the year. He's been exactly what we've needed. And that may just be his best game.
So, no mention of Sicily.
No, because I got sick of talking about Sicily. Frankly, that's the only reason he's not on the rundown.
Another quite excellent game from the captain.
Yep.
But probably shaded by Blake Hardwick,
who I would say so.
Completely destroyed. Well, I suppose Jai had an effort in that as well.
Oh, boy. That was humorous.
Oh, do not tackle with your face, I think is the point.
Now, that was an odd one. didn't go for the hips or anything, Cody Waitman. Just
totally misread the movement of Newcomb.
Yeah, that was odd. Yeah, no, Jai showed him up a couple of times, actually, in general play.
So even the Hawthorn Footy Club called out how good the performance was against Waitman.
Yeah, that's right. On the club socials, in fact, in 3 of the last 4 games against the Dogs, he's kept Cody Waitman goalless and with 5 disposals or less. On this occasion, Blake Hardwick also finished with 22 touches and 11 marks of his own. That is a bath.
Yeah, because, he's meant to be defensive as well, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just hanging around looking for a cheapie. So, Blake has gone from quite a mediocre start to the year to excellent coming into the back half.
Absolutely. Yeah, another guy that's found confidence. Finn McGuinness, we've sort of touched on already. Whether it was Libertore, Dale, Richards, he just
I forgot
up.
He went to Richards.
Was Richards the guy who kicked it straight to Mitch Lewis at the end of the game?
To the
final quarter? I think it was. He was kicking out. Anyway, if I've misremembered, I apologise.
Do you realise they were all single goal kickers?
That's right.
Yeah. What a spread.
Yeah. But anyway, Finn the Hitman McGuinness. Everyone he was sent to, he did a good job.
I think that Hitman idea might be something for the next bloke, James Blank. Who's in the rundown here.
Oh, yes.
He's sort of decided that he's not willing to negotiate the football anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's going straight at the ball, at the contest, and he's getting a few worried reactions from his opponents.
As well he should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got the job on Aaron Norton. How are we spelling Nort? Because he didn't kick a goal in the end. It's Norton 2. So that was another good job by James Blank.
And they've heaped all the pressure on Norton again because he can't kick for goal.
Mm-hmm.
Blanky doing well. Having been dropped earlier in the year too,
I mean, McGuinness and Blank, they're two guys that at stages I've had doubts about whether they're part of the future. But, I mean, going back to Finn in particular, I mentioned on this podcast, does the bad outweigh the good? Well, I have to backflip on that. I think for what we've seen the past fortnight, it might have erased that question for me.
Scrimmer was very good.
Yep.
Weddle was excellent.
Weddle, I think, was running at over 90%
for
18 touches. So
Bailey McDonald buggered up his first kick.
Yeah, well, Bailey had a nervous start.
And then recovered.
Yeah, I trust he wouldn't have expected to be in the game quite so early.
I mean, he looks good.
He does. He does. Once he got settled, he was very capable.
I'm excited about what Bailey can do.
Well, doesn't he just fit the blueprint of what Mitchell is trying to do? It makes sense. Bailey McDonald makes sense as part of this list, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. But his skills are excellent too, What happens is, if you're the opposition, you have to defend from your forward line mm-hmm. against Hawthorn.
That's right.
Wonderful. Mitchell's very, very good at getting them to play his style when it's working well.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't start off that way, he finds it hard to bring it back on his terms. But and so does the team. Part of the run on.
Yeah.
But if he can get even a nose in front, mm-hmm. it's very hard for them to come back to him.
Well, something that Mitchell pointed out in the presser is this win was particularly pleasing in that it was a different kind of win compared to the Pies one. You know, we were forced to really scrap our way back, which is not something
we didn't get a lot of joy either. Like there are a few crumbs, mm-hmm. but we didn't get a lot of licks of the ice cream. You mm-hmm. see, and we had to keep going without that positive reinforcement. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, it was toil, basically. Yeah. Toiled the whole game, and look, put a significant buffer at the end, only to have it erased to the point of almost heart attack. But no, it was good to hold on and get the job done. Which, you know, you look at the rest of the year, sometimes we've failed in those areas. You know, the Giants, the Crows. You know, Richmond.
No.
I know. But this is a positive trend. We're tracking upwards, which is good. I guess the only serious negative to think about here is, you know, we're talking about Bailey McDonald being inserted into the game.
This is such a tough topic for Hawthorn fans because I still like Chad.
Yeah, same.
I like to watch Chad at his best. But now he's facing 9 to 12 months recovery from an Achilles tendon injury. Mm-hmm. And it looked tremendously painful.
Oh, I found that upsetting. Yeah. I haven't gone back and looked at that vision because I just...
Well, it's exactly how Ruffy did it. Exactly how Ruffy did it on the push-off.
Yeah.
Looking to accelerate. I think Ruffy was going up in the ruck. Hmm. And then all and sundry came for Clarko for actually putting him in the ruck in the first place.
Hmm.
And we were told that Ruffy may not play again.
Yeah.
Because he was such a big bloke and not many came back from that injury. And, of course, he did.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're looking at Chad, who's over 30.
Yep. Out of contract at the end of October. And, look, Hawthorn's in a position where...
Well, now the rival suitors have turned their back. They're not coming for him.
No. So Hawthorn needs to decide, is this guy going to be part of our rebuild? And Chad is looking at, well, if I'm not here at Hawthorn, where am I going to be? It doesn't look like I'm going to be anywhere. So... he's going to be unavailable for most, if not all, of 2024.
No, all. Yeah. You'd have to assume all.
Yeah, well, yeah, you go with the worst case.
But you just got to look at the structure of that forward line and do you send Seamus Mitchell forward? You'd have to say Butler had come in. You've got Jackie O'Sullivan waiting.
Yeah, we've got...
Bennett's is there. I'd like to see Bennett's.
I would too, but we've got candidates... And I'm not saying they need to be on the same level as Chad, but in their own right, our candidates have not put their hand up in a significant way, which is an issue.
No, well, certainly, you know, Chad dropped to the VFL. He, if anybody had really hit their straps, they would have taken his spot.
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking at the guys that you mentioned. I'm thinking, yeah, in theory, in time, but not right now. And that concerns me about who's going to be the guy to take up that mantle. We had a question from Damien. Do the Hawks offer Wingard a rookie contract, or do they make the tough decision to cut him for a fit player? Where do you sit on this, Tiz?
I'll back the club's decision.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
I don't think they're going to offer him a rookie contract.
If he remains on the list.
He remains on the list.
Yeah, you're anticipating that?
No, I mean, that's what happens. He doesn't get dropped off the list and then offered a rookie contract. They're not going to do that.
Well, I guess what I was going to go on to say is, does he take a pay cut? He'd need to take a pay cut.
Oh, no, 100% was always taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
It's just the size of it.
Hmm.
I mean, he's going to get rehab anyway.
Yeah.
What is he like? Is he a leader around the club? Does he have off-field responsibilities?
Yeah.
Is he going to be... Look, if you've looked at that low period in his output... can we actually hope for better in 2025 if he's back? Mm. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of pluck to come back after that much time out.
Yeah.
Get your touch back as well, and then to still have an impact on an AFL contest.
Yeah.
I think it might be beyond him. And if he's had problems with motivation during the year, which I suspect was the problem, then it becomes a very difficult contract to offer.
Yeah, this is real head versus heart stuff. We need to move on to our Box Hill recap, which I also don't want to get to.
Oh,
prefer not
God,
to talk about
this. God, this is frustrating, this match.
Wasn't it? We just could not break them.
Yeah.
We looked off from the outset, and every time it looked like, oh yeah, we're a goal or two down, yeah, it seems possible.
They'd get a couple of easy ones,
yep.
And then it'd be back all against us again. Like, yep. They were very good at being able to control it.
They were. It was a very underwhelming Box Hill side that went down by 20 points in the end. It's our fourth loss for the season, which sounds pretty good. I mean, we're top four. We're probably going to end up third, but this is a loss that really was frustrating. As I said, looked off from the outset. Much of the game was about trying to just keep in touch, but for all the hard work, we never really mounted a serious challenge. Our midfield contingent was really well held. They did not look like themselves.
No.
Stat sheet showed the likes of Brown and Long posting numbers that were nowhere near their usual output. I think Brown had only 18 touches or something, which is...
Well down.
Yeah, his average is 30+. Also, minus 22 for inside 50s. We probably should have got done by a lot more.
Yeah, no, the back line stood up well, but, you know, the forward thrusts were pretty easily repelled.
Reminds me of the main game, to be honest. My main frustration with the game in Tassie was Hawthorn just kept on feeding the Dogs for most of that.
What did you think of DGB, who was a late in for Brandon Ryan?
Oh, I mean, he kicked a goal. I think he competed well. He was very...
I thought he had impact, really.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. His ferocity was very trademark him.
Yeah, but controlled.
Yes, yeah, more controlled than usual. That said, does he keep his spot this week? I'm not sure. I'd love to see more Brandon Ryan.
Well, he might keep his spot because, of course, Mitch Lewis is a test.
Yes.
They probably won't risk him, let's be honest.
Yep.
So Brandon Ryan comes straight back in, and then you've got Ryan, Cozzy, and DGB in the forward line.
That is certainly a forward line.
Against Lever and May.
Well, that's only two against three, mate, so one's got to get off the hook.
Can Fergus Green, who kicked 3-3 from 10 touches and 4 marks.
Yep.
Make his way into the lineup this week?
Potentially. Be in the frame. He probably should have had a better output than that. Mercedes was probably the standout for Box Hill. 25 touches, 21 of them kicks, 8 marks, a game high, 10 rebound 50s. I mean, that's an awesome game, but I don't feel like anyone went with him. The guy that was also highlighted, returning from injury, Henry Hustwaite, 18 touches, 7 tackles and 5 clearances. But yeah... Not an enjoyable game, this.
Is his middle name Hayden?
Triple H. Getting a bit WWE here, aren't we?
Oh, didn't I do well?
Did all right. Now I have a yearning to find out what his middle name actually is. Thanks very much. I'm going to do research on that now.
Well, like HIH or something. An insurance firm.
Oh, he's insurance at the moment, isn't he?
Well, I'd love to see him come up, but I don't think that'll happen.
I don't
Long
won't. This year.
Long probably won't get called on again.
No, well
unless you want him to play forward.
No, I don't. I want him to play in the guts. But so, he won't be called on after this performance. He was well down.
You've got to replace Wings. You've got to replace Lewis.
That's right. Yep.
Now, this is a good question from Tom. I'm not quite sure how Category B eligibility works, but if he's eligible, could Josh Bennett's be in line for a debut in the next 2 weeks? Outperforming Butler and arguably Brockman at Box Hill with 18 touches, 6 marks, 1 goal, 2.
Yeah, well, he was the best out of that trio.
And he's a terribly good link player coming out of the back 50.
Yeah, well, he's playing a high half forward, which surprises me.
Oh, it's a difficult position. Yeah. But he not only gets into space, meets the ball with pace, mm-hmm. and makes it look very easy, but then he finds an option.
Yeah.
And he doesn't take long. He doesn't hold it there and you're going, oh, come on, mate, make a decision.
Yeah.
He finds one fairly quickly.
He's not the goal sneak that I imagined he might be played as. He's got a different role. This is not to say he doesn't find the goals.
He definitely can be that player.
Yeah. I think out of him, Butler and Brockman, right now you're probably going with Bennett's. And is he in line for a debut? I would say at this stage of the season he's probably earned it. And as far as Category B eligibility, I'm a bit muddy on this, but we were playing Jai Newcomb.
Yeah, no, we can play him.
Yeah, we can play him just fine.
Anybody on the list can be played.
Yeah. So I would like to see Bennett's, whether it's this or the final week of the season. I think he's earned it. He's been a solid contributor for Box Hill throughout. Now, their final game Box Hill of the season versus Frankston, the lowly place
before finals. Before finals, we have
before finals. Yes, the final home and away game of the season, Friday, 7:05 PM at Kinetic Stadium,
which is
in Frankston.
Of course, it is.
Yeah, Frankston hosting Box Hill there, really should be a win. I flagged it last week. Box Hill should be tuning up for finals, and they will likely hosted by Werribee. The first week of the finals, who are on an incredible tear. I think they've won 15 in a row.
Oh, isn't that unfortunate? What's the likelihood? This is what I was thinking about Carlton. What's the likelihood of continuing the streak to end with a premiership?
Well, you just never know. It could all come crashing down in the first week of the finals, but I guess we'll see. Box Hill, Frankston, Friday, 7:05 PM at Kinetic Stadium. I might wander down for that one.
I'm really
tempted.
Yeah, it won't be cold at all.
Oh, I'm fine with the cold. Mate, I was broadcasting in Canada while we were doing this. You forget that.
Inside? You're not outside in Canada. But,
oh, yeah. So I went over there to broadcast and then I came back to Australia.
But you got
to
watch this outside.
Yeah. What do you think I was doing over there? I didn't stay inside the whole time. I think the coldest I've ever been was at BMO Stadium for... I think it was the Gridiron, American football.
Right.
That was painfully cold. I'll never forget that. Anyway, it won't be like that.
Or was it the game? Was it just you weren't absorbed?
It was painfully boring, I'll tell you that. Oh. But it was a grand final.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my luck to get tickets and so cheap.
Can you clap your hands at that temperature?
Well, you have gloves on, so it doesn't do much.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I was just being buffeted by cold, icy winds in the stands. I really struggled. And I prepared for that.
So there wasn't a big crowd?
No, it was a grand final. So it was full. I don't know how I got a ticket. I was lucky to get a ticket and so cheap. And it was my first ever taste of American football.
Lucky.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, American football, I don't know if it's for me. And we won. Toronto won.
Even worse.
Yep. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, the question is, off Box Hill's loss, off Hawthorn's win, we've got some selection decisions to be made as we take on Melbourne at the MCG, Sunday, 3:20 PM.
Oh, what a wonderful time.
Back to Sunday, 3:20 PM, the time I thought we were going to have for the final game of the season. Alas, now I don't get to go to that one. Anyway, Chad Wingard is obviously out, as we mentioned, with the Achilles. Mitch Lewis, they probably won't risk. I mean, that's been flagged. He's been flagged as a test. Dealing with a foot sprain. The word is that he was rocking a moon boot, so they're really taking all precautions. Why would you risk him? There's no point. We're not getting out of 16th, so you might as well play Brandon Ryan.
Brandon Ryan comes in. Who comes in for Chad?
Let's go out on a limb and say Bennett.
Let's go out on another limb and say Green.
It's not really like for like, is it? Although, mind you, Bennett's, I think, the part of his game... The defensive aspect probably needs work. So maybe they just keep him at Box Hill a little bit longer.
No, I just think you need... Like, I'm not sure Cozzy and DGB and Brandon Ryan are enough as marking targets. Do you know what I mean?
Can we just highlight Cozzy's final quarter? Because that's one guy that we didn't really mention against the Dogs. 7 disposals and 6 marks in that final quarter.
Just refused to let the Dogs back in. And he did that similarly against the Saints.
Yeah, he did, yeah. 16 disposals in
what
all.
What do we make of this? Because he hasn't got a contract.
Well, he's playing for one. That's what I make of it. He's desperate to stay.
Yep.
Do you keep him?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd keep him.
Big bloke. They develop slow. Sometimes you can be unlucky with where the contracts end.
Yeah.
Imagine if Warple.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if his contract had ended at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I will put my hand up and say I've been very hot and cold on Cozzy all year. But he's got it. He can do it. We saw that. Saw that on the weekend, that he can be influential. He had 16 touches by the final siren, 10 of those contested, 5 contested marks, 8 score involvements, including 1 goal to himself. That's his most influential game maybe ever.
It'd have to be.
Okay, well, come to think of it, we did see him in Adelaide, you and I. He kicked 5, didn't he, or 6?
Yeah. what you're talking about is the closeness of the contest, are you?
Yes, I am, yeah. When it was on the line in a really low-scoring game, he asserted himself, especially in that final quarter.
And he had no space.
Yeah.
Like, his man was on him.
Yeah, well, that's where the five contested marks come from as well.
So, and look, is it desperation or is it confidence? I don't know.
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. There is a question of just how this Hawthorn outfit, on current form, is going to go against Melbourne. Now, I know you're keen to beat them. You hate this mob.
Look,
there's a twinkle in your eye, and that is hope right there.
They're not going so well.
Well, no, not really. That didn't they? Did they're, you watch the Melbourne Carlton game? I think they had to fight their way back into that one, didn't they?
They had Petty come in and he kicked six or seven, whatever it was.
Hmm.
And they thought, oh, saviour has arrived to our forward line. All our problems are solved.
He's injured now, isn't he?
Yeah, Lisfranc injury and done.
Yep.
Out, gone. They got to work out another way to score.
Mm-hmm.
Then that ball wasn't touched on the line. I was like, oh, how dreadful for them. And then they couldn't find the right camera angle. They tried everything to get the D's over the line. But you've got this frustrated, angry Melbourne coming into a game against Hawthorn who nothing to lose.
Yeah. Who are quite relishing being top eight assassins.
Bit of blood in the water and they're enjoying it.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if we keep this, if we beat Melbourne, it's going to be insufferable over summer.
How do you mean?
Like the expectations on Hawthorn.
Oh, absolutely. But insufferable for us as well. We're just going to be like, when's the season start?
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah. And also, you know, if we get some really good talent in, the expectations go even higher. We probably don't want that just yet.
No. I think we just want to be seen to be tracking nicely. It's like, okay, well...
Because there's such a big advantage to swooping in and being like, oh, we're suddenly good.
Exactly. I think as far as the footy media is concerned, they, including Hodgie, mind you, all expected us to...
Oh, I can't believe you brought that back. But he did say, please remind me if I get this wrong. So it's fine.
And that was key.
Yeah.
That was his request.
He's like, Hawthorn is going to finish bottom.
And please remind me if it doesn't turn out that way. And so I kept the receipt. That's all.
Has he deleted it? Has he tried to sponge that from socials?
He may have. I didn't see it on his feed. Although, mind you, I don't remember where I grabbed it from. It might have been on Seven's official channel or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, point is, I kept the receipt because it's good fun. That's all it is. We're still up Hodgie. It's a bit of fun.
Someone demanded in recompense his first three male children.
Yep. Father-son rule.
Which can only make negotiations worse, to be quite honest.
How do I think we're going to go this week? It's been a very positive fortnight, but I'm still not entirely convinced about which Hawthorn is going to show up. But the pluck is there. The spirit is there. And if I can capture that again, can we win?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can.
Do we win?
I'm less sure about that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's the attitude I want to go in with. I don't want to be expecting a win.
Before we wrap up, we need to get to some social media stuff. Towards the end of the show each week, we like to highlight how much it helps when people rate and review our show on the likes of Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you could spare a moment to rate and review the show, that'd be wonderful. Here is a great 5-star review from Ben, who says, great show. Love listening to Nick and Tiz every week through my one eye. Gives you a buzz after a win and a pickup after a loss. Somehow, they stay positive, mostly. Fair enough. Also,
you should see some of the cutting room floor stuff.
No, that's a fair shout. That also really appreciate.
No, I got to take that again. That was too dark.
That has happened over the years. Absolutely. Also, really appreciate the Box Hill and AFLW insights. Well, thank you, Ben. That's a 5-star review, Tiz.
Yeah, the AFLW is not far away now.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment. Meanwhile, we'd also love for you to join us over on our social channels, The Buzz Online After a Win. As always, just such great fun chatting with fellow fans. Head to Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and connect with us there. And finally, this podcast wouldn't be what it is without the support of our proud, passionate, and paid-up Patreon subscribers. So a massive thanks to each and every one of you. The fact you're on board with us is very much appreciated. For everyone else, if you're interested in flinging us a few bucks a month to allow us to keep putting more and more time into the show, head to patreon.com/hawktalkpod, and right in front of me, the source of potentially some bonus content.
Well, before we get to that, I've got to thank Constance, who signed up on Sunday.
Oh, I must have missed that. Thank you, Constance.
And back to you're the Goal King.
Yeah, this is an op shop find. One of two, actually. I got Samantha Lane's AFLW book, but the other book I got was The Goal King, Jason Dunstall's Own Story.
Oh, that'll be wonderfully soporific for our listeners.
Well, we're building up quite a library now, because we've still got The Rat, so we might do it as a series, as some bonus content.
And don't forget, Buddy, it's coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll
yeah.
probably come with its own audiobook, though.
We need to move into red time items. We had an AFLW match sim this past weekend. The Western Bulldogs 5-1-31 defeated Hawthorne 3-8-26.
Should have won.
8.
Should have won.
26, yeah. The game consisted of 3 18-minute quarters. Bit strange. The team's swapping ends.
3 18-minute thirds. Perhaps. Well,
that's right, yeah. They changed ends at the 9-minute mark of the final term, which would have been. Again, a little odd. I know it's only match sim, but in the end, it was a last-minute goal that gave the Dogs the ascendancy when it mattered, and that ended up getting them the win. Signs are positive overall. You know, we're on top most of the day. Should have won, as you say. Hawks will now head to Casey Fields on Saturday afternoon for a practice match against, the reigning premiers, Melbourne. So that should be a good confidence booster on the eve of the season. It kicks off 2:05 p.m. will be streamed live and free on hawthornfc.com.au. Entry is free too. From the time of recording, mate, we're just 18 days out from our opening round clash with Essendon. Kinetic Stadium. Tickets on sale now. Anyway, got some final questions. This one from Richard Rule. Hi, lads. Hey, Richard. Question about the direction the Hawks will go in the postseason trade and free agency period. Will the Hawks persist with Frosty or try to find another key back? Will they prioritise a small forward or look to bolster an already impressive midfield for 2024?
Well, they're definitely going to go for another key back.
Yeah, key position is critical this off-season, I would say. And yeah, we do need a defensive post. The midfield, I reckon they'll ease up on this off-season. I think that was absolutely a project last year. And I reckon they'll be satisfied with just seeing what they have for a little bit.
Nah, top it up.
Top it up.
Yeah, and then teach them to play forward when they're not in the midfield.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Don't you think that's the way to go?
I think that's what they do every year.
If you need to, you can go and get a small forward out of somewhere.
Yeah, well, they leaned in quite hard to the midfield acquisition at the end of last year. So I think, yeah, definitely the priority here is a key defensive post. And in terms of Frosty, well,
He'd probably stay on the side.
He's contracted at the end of 2024, but I can't say as though me personally, I've missed him the past fortnight.
That's because we won.
It wouldn't matter.
You wouldn't have missed anyone. Did you miss Brockman?
I'll tell you what, I'll miss Lewis this week when we win. So I refute the suggestions.
I just keep moving the goalposts. It's good fun.
This question from Reese: with the team performing at such a young age, could that attract big free agents to jump on board for the next flag push?
100%.
Which free agents would they be?
All of them.
This is...
Well, it's going to be great for Mark McKenzie. He's just going to have his phone blowing up with offers of guys who want out of their current club to come to Hawthorn.
Yep. And how enticing does it look now off the back of those two wins?
Yeah.
It looks like we're building something and the buy-in will probably be there.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of money, and you can tadpole your contract.
This final question from AKF. Who has had the better second season, Connor McDonald or Josh Ward?
Connor
Wow, I didn't even complete the question. Connor McDonald.
100%.
Buzzed in straight
Absolutely.
Away. Well, let's continue.
Played more games.
Let me read out.
Didn't
what
get
AKF
knocked
wrote.
Out.
I know Connor McDonald doesn't have a set position. Didn't get knocked out. So hard.
Well, I mean, ostensibly better.
I know Connor McDonald doesn't have a set position, but the fact Josh Ward is in the 22 for under 22 squad and Connor McDonald isn't is very odd to me. Am I alone thinking this? Well, I looked at the numbers. If you look at their 2023 averages, Tiz, to date, Josh Ward just edges out Connor McDonald in most areas statistically, with the exception of scoreboard impact, which is...
Tell me who has the more difficult role.
Oh, Connor McDonald.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the podcast.
All right. I'll let you have that one.
Connor McDonald is going absolutely fabulously.
I think
that boy
are.
Is flying for a young player.
Yep.
We should be very, very excited and very, very happy with all the turmoil and all the strange selection decisions that we endured through much of the year and all of the... You know, the drops in concentration and the run-on goals that happened against us. We have learnt from it. That's all you can really hope for. And Sammy's teaching them. And what was the thing he said? It's all flour and water. That's what he wants. Flour. It sounds disgusting. But he wants flour and water. He doesn't want any of the icing on top of the cake yet, but flour and water. I'm never having one of his birthday cakes, just quietly. They sound pretty rank. He's either going to turn up with damper with icing on it.
The point is, he's in the process of baking it.
Right, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's the metaphor.
Okay. Metaphors don't work for me.
Evidently. Anyway, that'll be the end of the podcast this week. We'll be back to recap all the action from the weekend. For now, though, off to see the Matildas. I'm going to be in the cinema wearing my scarf. Are you going to get all dressed up? Are you one of those people that wears the merch watching stuff? Or
no.
No, you looked at me very oddly there.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to get swept up in it all. Everyone's going to be doing it.
Oh, I did. I got swept up in it. But no, I don't need to advertise.
Well, I am going to be a billboard. So I'm going to be wearing...
I'm going to be a billboard.
That's it. I'm going to be wearing the colours with pride. And gee, I hope... I'm not ready for this to be over. I love what is happening in Australia at the moment.
Have you spent a lot of time watching soccer?
Not as much as this before.
Just brace yourself. Because that thing can be totally harrowing.
I'm already a little bit nervous.
The injustice of soccer is something to behold.
Oh, mate, I remember staying up for... what was it?
The Grossi dive?
Are we talking Australia? Yeah. I got up from the couch and I was like, I'm going to bed. It's over.
This is a bullshit sport. Yep. Never watching it again.
Not far off. Anyway, this has been another edition of the Hawk Talk podcast. We'll catch you next week. We are a happy team at Hawthorne.